All right, I want to welcome everyone. My name is Ann Kelly. Today is Wednesday, October 6, 2021. And this is the Deeper Conversations coaching program. We are in week 4. So this week we have been talking about embodies a coaching mindset. On the call today for the first time, we have Chuck and Rhonda joining us. They'll say hello in a moment. We have Anthea, Lalia, and Jenny joining us. So welcome. Do we have a volunteer who would please read our class agreements for us? This is something we do each time. Thank you very much, Jenny.
I get through this without coughing. We'll see how I do.
All right.
Confidentiality. We agree to keep all information we hear within the classes or from our classmates confidential. This includes our live classes and listening to audios of the classes. Positive focus. We agree to give positive feedback, to acknowledge versus criticize, to be accepting. Holding the space. We agree to listen without interruption. Presence. We agree to be fully present to the class without distraction or multitasking. Beginner's mind. We agree to be curious and open, letting it all unfold. Self-responsibility. We agree to practice excellent self-care. And last, coaching feedback. We agree that, pardon me, we agree that only positive acknowledgments are offered by the class participants after the coaching, focusing on the competencies observed and the strengths of the coach. The class facilitators may offer some mentoring feedback designed to further the learning of the coach and the class participants. I made it through.
Hey! Thank you so much, Jenny. And these agreements are always my intention during our time together. Would you give me an auditory or a visual sign?
Yes.
Or I don't know, it could be anything.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know what it means. Thank you. But it gets us moving, right? Yoga's not till tomorrow. All right. Thank you for that. We offer at this point the opportunity for, I've heard it referred to as a clearing, a connection, just pausing for 30 seconds and taking a breath. This is something we do for ourselves. I mean, what a great topic Monday, embodies a coaching mindset. So this is something we do for ourselves. We can do it for our clients. It may be a standing way we begin a session. It may be something we do upon request. You seem a little today, and would you like an opportunity just to slow down and rest? So it's something we can offer our clients and ourselves. With that invitation, do we have a volunteer who has such a process? It could be very simple. We're going to ask you to walk us through it. Walk us through it rather than describe it. And we have a minute for that right now. I guarantee you it will be great. What do you do when a client shows up and they're... What do you do?
So I will generally ask them to do what they'd like to do to calm down. So I would ask them, would you like to just take a few minutes to just breathe? Would you like to get up and walk around your desk if you're at your desk, which most often people I'm coaching are at their desk when I'm coaching them? Would you like to get up and we can just shake ourselves out? What would you like to do to get yourself comfortable? And then we'll begin.
That's Rhonda. I love that. I love that. Anyone have a similar? Have you done something similar? I have invited clients sometimes just to look at the where are your shoulders? Are they up here around your knee, here up around your ears, or are they a little further down? Thank you. Oh, yeah, yoy. Thank you for that. So just the invitation when a client shows up, Rhonda, to pause. And you started with, I asked them what they would like to do, what they would like to do. It's, I really don't want to impose my, how I relax on them. So how would they like? And it can simply be an invitation just to breathe.
Mm-hmm.
That's one that they like. Thank you. And welcome, Yayoi. Good to have you here.
Sorry, I had some technical issues and I couldn't get in.
Oh, you are perfect. We okay. All are. So we have Jenny, Yayoi, and Thea, Lalia, Rhonda, and Chuck are new. Yayoi. Hello. Okay, well, thank you for that. So we have one possibility, one option. When a client shows up that way, would you like to just pause and breathe? And I don't know about you, but sometimes when I mention this, I'm getting over this because it really isn't true. Executives want to relax just as much as anybody else. But it used to make me nervous to talk about anything like breathing to an executive. So what I say now is, would you like more oxygen? And they go, yeah, yes, sure. Yeah, oxygen, good. Oxygen, good. Oxygen deprivation, bad. Okay, yes. Oh, you just know your audience and oxygen. Well, thank you. So we've got our group agreements are clearing. And next we have new students. And we, as we know, there are 10 weeks. Some folks sign up for 1 week, some sign up for all 10. So we have a rolling new students arriving, and it's nice. It's just very nice to meet new people, meet new coaches, and make connections. So we want to take a minute and welcome Chuck and welcome Rhonda. We'll ask you just, you know, maybe tell us where are you, a little bit about how long you've been coaching, and maybe what brings you the most joy in your coaching, and we can welcome you. Who'd like to start, Chuck or Rhonda?
I'll go ahead, since I'm off mute already. I am Rhonda Bowman, and I am in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. I have been coaching formally for 6 years and am up for renewal. And so I thought, oh, yikes, I need more CEUs. So here I am. Also, I'd known about this class and wanted to do it. So very happy to do it. And the thing that gets me the most excited is to see that aha moment and to see a client get really passionate about something, which I find I do a lot of personal brand coaching, and I do it within my company, and just when the light goes off and they're so excited, they have something that they can now share. It's very exciting for me as well.
Yeah. I picked up on especially the last part of that, when they have something, I'm thinking whether it's clarity or an idea or now I can go forward with that.
Exactly. Exactly. They know their goal, or they've got a statement or whatever it is, but the light goes off and they just light up with it.
Yeah. Thanks. Well, welcome. And Rhonda, are you in for a week, 2 weeks, just, you know,
I'm in for the duration. However, I do have a conflict on Mondays, so I will come when I can on Monday, but I'll listen to those, and I will be here on Wednesdays.
On Wednesdays. Well, we will welcome you. Yeah, those of us who are in for the whole thing get jackets and hats and all that.
I'll send you mine.
No.
Chuck, tell us about you. Tell us about your jacket and your hat first.
All right. They're in the closet.
Okay.
I'll leave it at that. Anyway, my name's Chuck Burke. I live in Southwest Connecticut. It's about 50, 60 miles north of New York City. Been a coach for a long time. I you know, I mostly work with executives, and I do a fair amount of leadership and soft skills training now as well. That's something in the last 10 years or so. I think the thing that I like best is very similar to what Rhonda was talking about. I really like it when I help my clients understand that they're not stuck with certain things that they're sure they're stuck with, and help them figure out a way to get around that or through it or over it. And that sort of breaks things loose. It doesn't happen with every client, but when it does happen, that's really just that's a treat to be able to get to see that and to be part of that for people. So.
Thank you, Chuck. Welcome.
Thank you. And
are you in for the whole stay? Do you get a jacket?
I'm in for the whole thing.
All right.
All the way to the hat.
Jacket. Another jacket and another hat. All right. Welcome. Very good to have you both here. Okay. Then at this point in Wednesday's classes, what we do is offer the opportunity to capture all of that great learning that takes place, learning and integration. So we talked about this Monday. I thought about it Monday, a little bit more Tuesday. I actually used it in my coaching with my neighbor at the grocery store with my kids. I actually used that skill, that coaching skill in the interim, and it made this clearer, and then that got fuzzier. So now I know a little bit more, but I have questions. So that's what this part of Wednesday is what would you like to reflect back on that you discussed Monday? And I'm fine if you want to go back before Monday and talk about that was embodies a coaching mindset. How many of you, I'm just curious, were in that class? I was not, so I won't raise my hand, but.
I was there.
Yayoi, Lalia, Jenny, okay. And others who have studied, this is the new competency. What's there for you right now around embodies a coaching mindset? This is our topic for the next 15 minutes. Yeah, really. Let's dig into this.
So, I when you said, did you use it or whatever with your friends, your neighbors, whatever, meeting in the supermarket? And I thought, oh no, I don't do that. But I did. I went up to visit my grandchildren and my son in Seattle, and my son taking on a new position in his work. And so as we were walking with the kids and with him, I was asking him how his work was going and how his new situation was going. And he said, oh yeah, I really enjoyed it, whatever. And instead of kind of like going into the usual chat the way I would chat normally, I just kind of said, well, what does that mean? You know, I think it's just really cool to kind of integrate that a little bit into our conversations with people in our daily lives, kind of taking that perspective of just that curiosity. You know, having that coaching mindset of being curious rather than giving advice or launching into a something, you know, but just kind of pulling back and just saying, hey, I want to know what you mean by it's going well. So it was kind of a nice moment.
Lalia, I just love that example. It's so recent. It speaks right to that competency, to a particular skill, and you put it right into action.
Yeah. Well, and thank you for bringing that up as like our topic.
Yes. Jenny.
I think what I'm still kind of chewing on, was a shift that Julie helped me find. It's just that part of my process when I'm done coaching is to kind of like go over the session in my head and just kind of replay things. Sometimes I can be a little self-critical, sometimes I'll be like, oh no, that was a really good moment. That was when an aha happened, but just kind of replay it in my head. And I guess I've always kind of thought maybe that was weird, but she helped me see that that was part of that, just that reflective process and learning from my own sessions. And so that was a shift for me in a permission slip that's part of a healthy process, not like crazy making in my own brain. So just that permission slip's been really freeing. Like, there is good in reflecting on the session and thinking about it and chewing on that. So,
Jenny, thank you. And I love that bringing back in the permission slip.
Yes.
And if I remember that correctly, the permission slip is for me and it's signed by me.
Absolutely.
Myself. Permission, not like when we forged notes from our parents.
Correct. You are the author of the permission slip and the signee.
In this case,
yes,
we do. We do get to say, yeah, I'm going to go off on all the competencies. I mean, just one of the things is fully conscious. We have to show up fully conscious. What happens when I didn't get enough sleep? What happens when I don't feel well? What happens when I'm preoccupied? What happens when there's no, how can I strengthen that mindset? How do I put that on almost like a uniform? Mm-hmm. Great point, thank you. Who else was?
I was there. I think what stuck with me the most was, a quote that Julie shared, I forgot, Michael something, another coach shared it. And she said, how can we stay curious longer? And that was kind of like stuck in my head all of the last 2 days. And I think it was, I had a bit of an incident, not an incident, somebody threw me under the bus at work, at my day job. And I got really, and it was also because I got caught in the downpour with my dog and I got wet too. So I wasn't in a good mood. And then I see this email that this guy threw me under the bus. Okay, so I was in a bad place. But then I started thinking about what we were going through as a coach and coaching mindset. And I was like, well, I was thinking, oh, let me look at it from the guy's perspective. Maybe he had a bad day. Maybe he had other things going on. And so I started becoming more curious about, what made him do that? Although I was still angry, but still, you know. But it made me rethink a lot of things. And I think I was able to look at it from a different perspective and more from like a coach's perspective. And I started coaching myself actually to calm down and to see it from a different viewpoint. And then it didn't, I mean, it's still a little hurtful, it's still a little angry, but it's a lot better than what it could have been. So I think, and then I said, okay, let me just step into my coaching persona, because we were talking about personas and mindset. So I actually did take a step into it and said, okay, let's, you know, calm down and let's step into it and see what I could do. And that helped me a lot to process it. Yeah. But yes, it's still a little, you know, as you could tell, but it helped. So
don't let me create a link where no link exists, but it sounds to me like the three of you who shared, Yayoi, Jenny, and Lalia, you were able to take a discussion you had Monday with Julie, and it's only been 48 hours. It's been less than 48 hours, and integrate that into your life.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Good. I mean, if you were cold-hearted and measured things in terms of money, that's a pretty good return on investment. Think about how often do you learn and apply it to your life in a positive way and you get benefits. Here's an inquiry. Has anyone ever been in a job where your boss came in and said to you, did your boss ever come in and say, I want to acknowledge you're responsible for your own choice. I'm concerned about your learning and development. And I would like you to develop an ongoing reflective practice to enhance yourself. Have you ever had a boss say that was part of your job?
Those words.
No, but who's the boss now? It's my coaching mindset. So who's the boss? Mm-hmm. And Rhonda, if we're lucky, we have some bosses who are concerned about beyond the profit. Sometimes we do. Those are wonderful. Sometimes we don't. Those are not as wonderful. But yeah, in this instance, we're the coach when it comes right down to it. I know we're dealing with sponsors and primes and contracts and things like that. But when it's the client and the coach, a reflective practice for ourselves. And this is the competency they added. Let's just take the last 3 minutes till half past. Why do you think the ICF added this competency? Out of all the other 20-year review, why do you think this is the one they added? It reads, embodies a coaching mindset, develops and maintains a mindset that is open, curious, flexible, and client-centered. Why that competency? Why now?
Those those are things that would make any of us a better coach. And I also think they're great things to model for our clients, many of whom can't find a minute to self-reflect. So yes. That would be my guess.
Yeah. We're setting an example. Yes.
I also think it's also something that's good for us as coach, just as human beings, you know, and when we take off our coaching hat and to embody that in general is something that's good for our spirits, good for our soul. And I think it's something that's good for community, the world itself. So I think if you speak idealistically, I think that would be like a wonderful way to look at the world, right? If people can be this way. So I think it's two things, you know, of course, as a coach and to be a model for clients and to be that way, but also as human beings, it would be a beautiful way to be. So,
yeah. Other thoughts around, and Thea, anything you'd like to add as we wrap up? Embodies a coaching, doesn't just have it. Don't just have access to it. You embody a coaching mindset. Wow.
Yeah, well, I have to obviously say that it is 12:30 here at night in Singapore. And today has been a long day. So I'm also trying to conserve my energy. But what comes up for me though, is two things, right? One is that we actually learn by reflection, not just by doing. And so many people think that we actually learn by doing. And that's, if you think about it, that seems to be intuitive. But if we really think deeper, it's in reflection that we actually internalize the learning. So I think this reflective bit to this competency is so important because, you know, coaching is really not us being the expert, right? We are continuously learning. So that's what came up for me. The second thing that came up for me is that it's a practice. And so that embodiment that we talked about speaks to two things. One is, the whole person that we are, both as the coach and also as we coach, we are also coaching a whole person. So to remember that and the embodiment actually speaks to that whole person concept. The other is the practice, right? We become what we practice. And so you know, this sort of mindset that we're talking about, you know, the competencies really help us to understand how to practice into being that whole person, right? Whether we're holding the role of a coach or being coached. So those are the two things that came up for me for this competency. And I think it's beautiful. I like this competency. I really like how Yayoi articulated it as well. It is very human.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you. And Thea, I don't know that I've heard it that clearly stated that it's two human beings. And then I'm going, well, yes, but I hadn't thought of that before. So thank you for kind of shining a light. It's not just the benefits to me as the coach of that mindset. I'm dealing with another human being. And wouldn't it be great if I could see them holistically? Thank you. Thank you very much. Okay. We'll set up our coaching. I'd just like to offer, would anybody like a 2-minute break? I'd like to offer that. We'll do that. Good. I see a nodding head. Take 2 minutes, refill coffee, whatever you'd like. If you're sticking around, there's a commercial. And this is it. If you're sticking around, this is coming up. The ethics community of practice stump the experts. I don't know how we can all not be there. There's not a date on this page, which I thought was interesting. Maybe they're trying to stump us out, but this is going to be Wednesday, October 20th. So I think that sounds like 2 weeks from tonight, from 4 to 5:30 p.m. If you were present on the ethics sessions that we did, the second and third week, these were some of the folks I was talking about. These were the folks. Remember when we ended the session with just 3 suggestions? It was respect, do what's best for the client. You can't over-communicate. I think we're the 3. These are the individuals who shared that with me. Believe it or not, it's a fun group. So these are the folks who are on the videos. If you have or have not had a chance to watch them, don't worry about that. Go on there and ask them. Say, I have a question. I'd like some more information. Look at to me, this is one of the most diverse teams that the ICF has. The volunteers come from all over the world. Great experience, great people. This is 90 minutes on Wednesday, October 20th, 4 to 5 p.m. Eastern. Let me show you this if you're here for the commercial. I still kind of look at this learning activity and I go, what? So now I'm logged in, but when you see your enrollment, so I'm enrolled in this and hopefully it will let me, yeah, it's just being slow. So here's my enrollment in that ethics community practice. And I used to see this incomplete in the upper left-hand corner to make me crazy. It just means the class hasn't happened yet. I don't need to do anything else because I kept thinking, I'm not registered. It says incomplete. No, it just means the class is in the future. Oh, and here's the date. So they have it here, October 20th, 4 to 5:30. So go on in there. Go on in. Google the, or when you get on ICF, look at ethics, community of practice. You'll see this and you'll be able to register. And I say we all gang up on them and ask a bunch of people. Yeah, come on. Really ones.
I just saw an email from ICF just for that. And I just clicked on it. Yes.
Yeah, it probably looks like, so be on the lookout for that. All the members should get this. We'll all show up. We get jackets and hats. Okay, I'm gonna, we will see. Now, this may be recorded. The communities of practice, I think they may. The water coolers, they don't. Those are cool. Those are cool. Okay. I wrote down, how can we stay curious longer? And I wrote down, we become what we practice, which Anthea both makes me happy and sad. It's like, yeah. Oh, oh.
it just means that we have to choose what we want to do.
Yeah, I can get very good at the remote, or I can get good at walking or. Okay, so thank you for revisiting Monday's topic. Now we're going to set up our live coaching, which will make up the remainder of today. Now also, let me go back. We have Lalia coaching Jenny. While Lalia is telling us what she would like for us to focus on, we'll flesh that out. But I'm going to ask each of you, besides Lalia and Jenny, everyone else, choose a competency, a skill, a PCC marker, something you want to look for in Lalia's coaching, because you're looking for it everywhere. Just as you talked about integrating this learning into your coaching, into your communities, into your families, when we integrate that, it gets stronger. So you're looking for a skill or a competency that you want to build. So you're looking for it in coaching. And I'll ask mm-hmm. you, in 30 minutes when we debrief and you share your acknowledgements, share with us what that other skill was that you were looking for. You can limit it to one if you want, because we'll also be looking for Lalia's focus. So any questions on that part? Okay. Lalia, give us one or two skills or competencies okay. that you would like for us to listen for.
So, yeah, on Monday, we were talking a bit about using intuition, you know, observations and how to do that. And because I had run into some problems as an example. So that turns out to be 7-5. And then I also was thinking about like how to ask better questions to evoke awareness, which is 7-1. Turns out that those are part of competency too, the coaching, mindset. So I thought that was kind of a cool conjunction.
Yeah. Yep. So we're going to be, this is great, because we're going to be looking for your mindset, Lalia, but we can't see your mindset. But what we can see is the evidence that the ICF isolated in 11 PCC markers and said these 11 are evidence of a coaching mindset. And you've mentioned 7-1 and 7-5. Mm-hmm. We will be looking for evidence of a coaching. Jenny, yes.
I need like a 35-second break. I have a little four-legged creature. I'm the only person here. And he
you go.
Body break. I'll be right back. I'm so sorry.
You go. Self-responsibility. Remember we talk about that up front? You take care. Lalia, so intuition, observations, and questions to evoke awareness, and then our bigger umbrella is coaching mindset, 7-1 and 7-5. Yes?
Yeah, it feels like a tough a challenge.
Maybe
I took on too much here.
No, we will be listening. So we're at 12:40. Please end sometime between 5 and 10 minutes after the top of the hour. Please don't go beyond 10 minutes after the top of the hour, and that will give us lots of time.
Okay.
So 5 to 10 after, just see where you're at a good point to end 30 minutes. And the rest of us will have our cameras off. So you can turn your camera off now. please do mute yourself so that Jenny and Lolly have a nice quiet line. And you're looking for two evidences. One, Lalia's intuition observations and the item that you identified. Thank you, Lalia. You may begin.
Is Jenny there?
My apologies.
I don't think she's back yet.
Oh. Just give me 1 second.
Oh, you're back, Jenny?
Yes.
Okay.
So sorry.
Oh, good. There you are. Okay. I tell you what, can we just take 10 seconds to breathe in and out since you just sat down?
My dog doesn't like the rain, and it didn't want to go outside earlier. It refused to go potty. And so he had to go right now. So sorry.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. All right. Well, good thing to take care of. So, okay, Jenny, hi. Nice to be coaching you today.
Yes.
I'm really happy to have this opportunity. What do you think? We have really not very much time here. So I think we should just launch right in and see what you would like to bring to the session and what you would like to be coached on today.
Okay, I have been thinking about this for a number of days, and I hope I'm not going to be a difficult client.
Oh, Jenny, Jenny, sorry, it's a little hard for me to hear you.
Oh, okay. Can you hear me better now?
Yeah, it's all right. I think we'll survive.
Okay, I'll speak louder. I was just saying, I hope I'm not going to be a difficult client. I've been thinking about this subject for a couple of days. So basically the core is I tend to overgive when it comes to time, just go over in my time when I am in session with clients. It's been part of my practice for a long time. I've tried different things, everything from setting up just some time guidelines at the beginning. I set a little alarm. I've worked it into my practice and just let my clients know, kind of giving myself permission. But ultimately, I'm feeling like I would like to pull back in that area. And so what I think I'm looking for most during our time together would be I'd like to connect an underlying value, something that really matters to me, to the concept of holding a time frame for my clients that is accurate in what I've specified the time frame will be. That's kind of what I would hope to find, is some kind of underlying core value that would line up with that and help me have just better boundaries in that area.
Mm-hmm. So I'm hearing that you tend to go over time with your clients. Mm-hmm. And you've tried different things. You've tried different methods to sort of structure yourself and structure the session. And you've come to the awareness that I hope that's the right word, that connecting to a value would help you with this particular issue.
Yes. I believe a value as something that means, I would say means more to me than time, which is weird because time is a value. But yeah, something that's a value would be helpful.
So I'm really curious, how did you come to this place where that was what you thought would help you?
Oh, that's a great question. I think in kind of going over it, so over the years, I'll set something, you meet with a client, I say, our sessions are 1 hour, here's what I charge, and I would generally go past that. So there would be different moments where I would be like, well, I'm only not making this much per hour if I'm spending an hour and 20 minutes with a client. So I would go over the concept of like, is money a motivating factor, or is just kind of trying to figure out what my motivating factors were and realizing that it's not motivated by money, because that's not the major value, which sounds like a privileged place to be, and it is, but I think just trying to figure out a way to connect to something that would really allow it to stick, because there's been other methods that haven't. Does that make sense?
Yeah, again, the sound is a little fuzzy here. So you're thinking that the value will help make it stick. Was that
right?
What I heard? Yeah.
So, and just to clarify, yeah. So like, it was just like a core value to me would be the things that really matter most to me. And as far as time goes, I kind of always considered myself like, yeah, I don't say I don't like time, but I tend to overestimate how much I can get done in a certain amount of time. For years, being on time was a very big problem for me. I've gotten better at that now that my children are adults, but the clock and I aren't necessarily coherent while coaching. Time kind of tends to disappear for me sometimes with coaching. So these are just some other areas where I've struggled in this aspect. So my assumption is if I can find a core value, it'll stick. That's, I guess, why I came up with that.
Mm-hmm. And so let me just clarify that we're on track here, that's the outcome you would like is the value that would help you stay better on time with your sessions.
Yeah, I think so. I think that would be helpful. I think that would be helpful.
Okay. So tell me a little bit more about what kinds of values you think would help you.
I'll tell you the things that have pained me in the past. Or some things that have kind of helped in the past. I had a couple of different comments from people. One gal came in after a number of sessions with me, and normally we would go over by, 10 to 15 minutes. And we sat down and kind of got settled in. And she said, I only have an hour today. After an hour, my brain can't handle anymore. And I felt like, oh my gosh, I've been putting something on this client. So there was she put up a boundary, which was great. I had some, coaching identity shame, but that's all right. Worked through that. And then I had the opposite, in which a client has said to me, we finished up the session. It was a couple session, which I do 90 minute couple sessions, but we went over that. And I said, oh gosh, we went over and you guys need to go pick up your kids. And he said, oh, no problem. That's just more for us. We take as much time as you can possibly give us. At which point I was also like, well, what about my time? So I've had both sides mm-hmm. of the feedback loop come in. And both landed with me in an area that just really made me think, I need to think about this and come up with something that's more solid. And then the only other thing that I think has really worked is if I have back-to-back clients. So I will definitely uphold a time mm-hmm. frame with one client in order to honor a time frame with another client.
Mm-hmm. So when you were telling me the story about the two examples of where the client really needed that structure of just the hour, and you then when you heard that your client said, "Oh, we take all the time you want," mm-hmm. what value? What would you name that value?
Oh, that's a really good question. I think there's, it kind of goes back to my overlying coaching identity as a whole. like what pops up for me is like, what am I doing? Like, why am I here? And just the idea of actually defining that, like to go back to the idea of actually defining my purpose in that moment. Yeah. I think that's what pops up for me.
So that's defining your purpose is the value that you would apply to that, those situations.
If I were to go a little bit deeper in that space, I would say probably living deliberately would be the underlying value, because that's a big thing for me, like be here, be on purpose. So I think if I were to actually find a deeper, more clearly spoken value, it would be being on purpose and being deliberate. And that actually feels like I could wear that, and that feels good to put that on.
So tell me more about that, because how does that relate to the time?
That's another good question. I think because time matters, you know, it does matter. That's another aspect of maybe another underlying value, that we only get a certain amount of it when we're on the planet. So to spend it wisely and deliberately, I think I could kind of link the idea of, you know, being deliberate in my coaching identity or being deliberate in my life with being deliberate with time. I think this can cross over.
Mm-hmm. Well, how do you think it will affect your coaching being deliberate with time?
I would get paid more per hour because I wouldn't overextend my myself. How would being deliberate affect my coaching? I think it creates a more professional identity, and it also creates space on either side of the coaching, which I think is an honoring process. So that, you know, you can like prepare for it in advance, and then you've got an appointment after. People have the things they do after coaching, you know, whatever that is. So in just defining and sticking with the definition, there is creating that space for the session, which I think is kind of a beautiful thing. I think those could be some positive benefits of that.
Mm-hmm. What are the positive benefits?
I think the positive benefits could be kind of similar to what I just said. And then in addition, I would feel better. That's one of the benefits. I would feel better at the end. And just not having this constant questioning of like, why do I keep going over? Why do I keep going over? And so I think it would just be more, I would feel more in alignment with my edges and with my coaching identity.
So tell me more about that identity. That's really interesting, and how that aligns with that.
Okay. So my normal identity is I've been a homeschooling at-home mom for years. So time has always been a big flow. You know, you flow with the kids, you flow with the day. We did have a schedule for education. We did have classes that we go to, but very much going with the flow. And my coaching identity is very different. It's very much professional identity. and showing up and preparing myself and being there for someone else and really protecting that space. And not always protecting the time, but protecting the space, creating a safe space. And so they're different in many ways. And I would say, even though I've been coaching for 12 years, I've been a mom for 26. So I've got more experience in the other category than I do in this one. And that those two different identities might actually be, you know, colliding with each other a little bit.
That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Thank you for sharing that. I mean, I have to be honest. I understand exactly where you're coming from. Having been a mom and understanding that flow.
Yeah.
And kind of like that's how things work. And it's, yeah. So the identity of becoming, I think you said kind of somehow more professional somewhere. Mm-hmm. You use that word professional in a former answer. That seems to be very important to you. And the time is part of that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it is. And I think that's it's funny because a part of me wants to go, well, duh, of course it is. But I think I'm really seeing how these two different identities have collided in the past. And so it's kind of both have benefits, you know, and because I felt some guilt or just different emotions, depending on what the comments are from my clients or how long a session takes when I told my family I'd be done and then I'm not, or, you know, just those different going past the boundary kind of moments. And so kind of just seeing that I have like these two different identities that are like, you know, kind of conflicting a little bit, is cool because I can then allow myself just some self-compassion or personal grace or whatever permission slips, in that space, but then also really start to pull them apart when it comes time to preparing for my clients. And I think that is important to me because it is it's a sacred, I consider coaching like a sacred space. So in order to honor that sacred space, it's a shifting of the hats, which I think has been a theme throughout today's call so far, like a jacket and a hat. And I've never actually, I think because coaching is such a part of just who I am and what I do like all the time with everyone or anyone, not in a professional way, obviously, but you know, with friends or with relationships, you just kind of work these practices into these spaces that actually taking off a hat and putting on a hat is something I haven't envisioned as part of my practice, but it could be. And I think it would help me shift into holding the sacred space, which does include boundaries around time.
If you were to name the two hats that you're shifting.
Mm-hmm.
What would be the first half that you have to take off and then you put on the other one?
I'm laughing because that hat is really full right now. but I would say, to me, it's just kind of like the other, like we're remodeling our home. My children are adults and trying to move out. My husband and I are in transition. We have I have a lot going on. So it's just like, this is the other hat and all of this stuff falls into it. And then on the other side, I think would be my coaching hat, you know, the thing that I love to do and helping people and just helping people move forward.
Mm-hmm. So we have just a few minutes left, Ben. I didn't really check in midway because it seemed like, there wasn't enough time to check in. Are we kind of on the track? I mean, with what your original outcome was to be?
It's funny because absolutely, yes. My answer is yes. even though the concept was like, let's find a value, I think what I'm actually developing is perhaps a new found value around just the concept of coaching and what that requires, you know, and what's underneath that hat, you know, what's underneath that identity and how to do it deliberately. So not only did I land on the value of, you know, being on purpose, which isn't important to me, but also just redefining, I think, that coaching identity as a real hat that I get to put on and mm-hmm. having clarity around what that hat means. So yeah, I kind of feel like I found an underlying value, but I'm also developing a new one on top of that.
Mm-hmm. And how do you think that will, how do you picture yourself using this?
I think I will find a newfound love for time, which sounds really crazy coming out of my mouth because it's not my thing. But I think I could actually get not only good at being on time in having boundaries, but use my time more wisely to be more profitable, in addition to being more professional. I do follow-up emails with clients. So if you factor in any drive time to an office, and then you factor in my follow-up mm-hmm. emails, and you factor my hourly mm-hmm. rate, and you factor that I go over, like it can significantly cut, you know, what I'm actually getting paid. And so, yeah, I think that if I embrace this concept of time boundary as part of a healthy coaching identity, and being on purpose, I think I would actually like learn to enjoy it. It wouldn't feel like a chore. I think I could actually learn to enjoy holding a certain mm-hmm. amount of time for my mm-hmm. client.
I loved what you said about the healthy coaching identity. Mm-hmm. It's
yeah.
almost as if that hat is your healthy coaching identity.
Yes, and actually thinking of like a physical hat and putting it on is helpful.
Mm-hmm. And how? And to sum up for yourself, the developing sort of creating that structured time with your clients. How is that part of your healthy coaching identity?
Mm. I think it comes down to ultimately respect of self and of my clients and of the concept of time. You know, I think all of those things come down to that final aspect is just respecting each of us as individuals and the fact that we all have a limited amount of time and it should be used on purpose. That
yeah.
actually feels really good.
I was just going to say, I'm seeing a shift in your faith and your
yes.
whole presence.
Yeah.
When you said respect, you suddenly went, I don't know. It's like there was, yeah.
Yeah. No, actually, it was really healthy.
Mm-hmm. So how can you take this with you from now on and hold on to this?
I think for me, it kind of goes back to what Julie was saying on Monday with some of what do you do to prepare for a session? And, you know, everything from getting out my colored ink pens, because I do take lots of colored notes, different things like this, but setting up space in the beginning of my sessions for an actual shift of hats, and then honoring what's underneath that hat, which is my professional identity, which does obviously pay attention to the clock for my own sake, for my client's sake. I think it's just kind of just creating a new ritual before I start coaching, which would be mm-hmm. Helpful for me.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Is there anything more that you would like for yourself to be able to succeed in this?
No, it actually feels really good. I'm excited.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Thank you.
Okay. I guess, does that feel like we've gotten to where you wanted to get to?
Yeah, absolutely.
Good. Okay. Great.
I have to write some notes.
All right. Oh, good. No, that was great. That was really good. Thank you.
Thank you so much. And you're from Washington, okay. Yes? Are you in Washington, Malia?
Huh?
I'm in California.
You're in California. Okay. You said Seattle. And I was like, oh, because I'm in Washington.
Oh, state of Washington.
Yes.
Oh, what part?
Eastern Washington.
Oh, yeah. Spokane, that area.
Yes.
That something area. Like yeah. that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate the session. It was awesome.
Oh, thank you. That was great.
Thank you, Lalia.
Okay.
Jenny, so much. That was great. And you didn't even use the whole 30 minutes. Do you know that?
I know. I wasn't rushing her. I mean,
No, like, you were not.
I got
you
to the
were
end
not.
And I'm thinking, well, I have a few more minutes. Can I ask another question? But no, it didn't show right.
Thank you. No, and this is, here's one way to look at it. When we arrive here, and I took this class in 2012, so I showed up and, you know, volunteered and you jump in, they say you have this much money. Now I'll tell you what else. We used to do two coaching sessions in 90 minutes. You remember, two coaching sessions in 90 minutes. So you talk about compacted, but think about this. Your client arrives and says, I have a topic A. About 20 minutes in, you realize they don't care about topic A. They want to talk about a new topic.
Right.
And you go there, of course. And then you end the session after 40 minutes. We do this all the time. We do it all the time. It's just that there's not like in the boxing ring where somebody walks around round one or round topic one or topic two. You don't see that. It's just us being nimble and flexible and going wherever that client wants to go. We could do up to two or three topics in an hour if that's what the client needs. So well done, really well done. Honest to goodness, Lalia, I felt like there was this little, you know how Cyrano de Bergerac would have a wireless thing, and I'm thinking, well, I would ask this at that point, and there you go. And then I would ask this, and there you go. And I would ask this. I was like, I think my thoughts are coming right from you. Anyway, what we're going to do, we have about 20 minutes left. We will end at past, and I hear you with the topic today. I got talked to about ending on time, so that helped me. That helped me, but it's a great topic. It's a great topic. How
great topic.
Do we, especially when we're listeners, how do we do that respectfully? So what we'll do with the 20 minutes for Chuck and Rhonda, we will hear from our coach, Lalia. We'll hear from our client, Jenny. We'll hear from the other observers who, again, are going to tell us what's a competency or a skill you were looking for yourself, and what's some feedback you have for Lalia on the topics, the competency she was interested in. And then about the last 5-6 minutes, I will provide my observations and we will close. Okay, so let's start with our wonderful coach, Lalia. How was that session for you?
Well, it was very interesting because I reached my goal in the sense that I was trying to address for myself this whole question of intuition. And so I was struggling because I would ask her a question like, what are the values that you would name, you know? And I'm sitting there thinking, it's about respect. And I'm like, no, let it go. She's got to go where she has to go, you know? And it was really trying to embody the coaching mindset, that it's not my head in what I was thinking. But then I sort of giggled because she got to that word by the end. And several times she said it. So I'm like, okay, all right. I did. But there are those times, I mean, you're going to think those things in your, and it's kind of an intuitive thing, or it's your own head trip, whatever. And you got to just pull back and get into the coaching mindset and say, it's her value, she's got to go with them. So, yeah. So that was kind of my major, I felt at least it was an accomplishment in that way.
Major accomplishment. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think one we can all relate to, yes? Yeah, I see a lot of bobbleheads. Thank you, Lalia. Let's get a reaction from your client. Jenny, how was that session for you? What feedback do you have for your coach?
I just have gratitude. I think she asked some really amazing questions. I remember there were a few that I was just kind of like, like, you know, when a question hits you and you're like, oh, good. Now we get to dig in this area. But it's good. You want it. But it's so finding some of those deeper value sets for me was really powerful. I think a couple of the key ones was linking not only a value to being on purpose and deliberate in my life, which is a deep value of mine, but also falling in love with, reconnecting with the value that I have for the coaching process and profession was also really, really fun to just lift those two things up. And then to come, of course, to the final one, which is the concept of respect, self-respect, respect to my clients and respect to time, which is a fleeting thing. And we all know it's the older you get, the faster it goes. So, I think she did a great job. I know one of the things she was looking for was powerful questions, and I felt like a number of them were really powerful.
Jenny, thank you very much. Thank you for that feedback, and thank you for volunteering. Thank you. So we would like to hear from, in any order, Rhonda, Anthea, Yayoi, and Chuck. And then I will add my feedback at the end. Who'd like to go first? And this, again, is your acknowledgments for the markers that you saw, the code of ethics in action, and the ICF core competencies in action. In line with our agreements, it is positively reflected because that works better. And if you'd like to know more about that, I will talk to you for 6 hours after the webinar. No, Chuck, I'm signing you up. Chuck, I have an opening at 1:35. Are you free till 6? Okay, all right. Who'd like to go first?
I'll jump in and try this out.
Yes.
So Lalia, I had written down evokes awareness. That was what I was going to look at. And then you had mentioned some of that as what you were looking to do. So I went, oh, well, let me find another one. But I was looking at that as well. And one of the things in evokes awareness that I thought you did really well was the values. So you asked the question to get to the value. You checked in, was that still the value? It started to change and you asked, how does this relate back to your original value? And you kept bringing that in. And even though it changed as the conversation went along, we went from time to living deliberately, to respect. It you kept that thread and you kept it in the forefront. And it was about respecting her value there. And so then I thought, okay, you were already doing number 7. Let me go to number 8, facilitate client growth. So you also did a beautiful job in pulling out that value and then relating that to the behaviors and things, you know, what will you do? And how can you take this with you? And asking those kinds of questions that allowed Jenny then to name what she was, she came up with what she wanted to do moving forward and how she would hold herself accountable for it. So you did a beautiful job.
Thank you, Rhonda. Thank you. Great noticing. Chuck.
Yeah, Lolly, that was a great session for a lot of reasons, many of which Rhonda mentioned, but what I particularly liked is you stayed with her all the way. And the questions, you took them deeper based, I think, on some intuitions you had, but without asserting your stuff into it. So wherever she went, you were with her. And you never lost thread of that. And you could see from my standpoint, Jenny just kind of having these moments of awareness. And you did that in less than a half an hour. It was pretty good. So I thought that was just a great session from beginning to end. You left some nice space in there for time and reflection. Just from my viewpoint, you got a lot done in a short time and all valuable. So there you go.
Thank you, Chuck. And was there a skill or a competency that you were looking for just for yourself?
Yeah, well, I was looking for the intuition and observation questions and to evoke awareness. I thought we saw all of that and then plenty more. And then I wasn't sure if we were going to get to anything at the end in terms of action, but we did, which could have easily slipped out the back door with everything else that was going on. But you stayed with that, Lolly, and I got the sense as an observer that Jenny was going to be not just thinking about this, but she was excited enough to put this stuff into practice. So those are the things I would.
Thank you, Chuck. Great noticing.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yayoi.
Yes. Hi. It was a great session. It was like so, just flowed very, very nicely. And the questions were great. And I loved how you were stumping Jenny with your questions. That was like wonderful to see. And then what I was looking for is actually the same thing that you're looking at. I guess it was from last class that we had it in our heads to look for, Vokes awareness. And if you were, especially the 7-5, which was, that you're not sharing your thoughts with, or your feelings or with the client. And you weren't doing that at all. And you were really great with that. And then I thought, well, I can't do the same thing. So I said, let me see if I can find another one. And then I looked at the competency of reflection, giving the client time to reflect and pause and silence. And I really, that was great learning for me because I saw, many times when you were giving Jenny that pause and that silence for her to think and reflect on what she really wanted to say or how that she was taking that. So I thought that was wonderful. And it was a great learning for me too. Thank you. And I love the way that Jenny's, just changed. That shift was like so evident and it was like so beautiful to see. So Thank you.
Thank you, Yayoi. And Anthea.
Yes. That was wonderful. It was as much as I, I'm feeling like my energy is fading, I actually kept up because it was so interesting to watch, right? And so well done. Lalia, I was especially moved. I mean, I went through the competencies and it felt like you definitely maintained presence, right? You supported Jenny in where she chose to go and what would actually unfold. The curiosity that you demonstrated, which you also did the last time you coached Yayoi. And that came out again. And you used that word, I'm curious. I'm really curious. And I really liked how you always preface it with that. There's also that sense of humility that obviously then establish and cultivates trust with the client. My own skill to look out for was actually to allow the client to do most of the talking, which was in the the competency 7, right? 7, 8. And you did, even though it was only half an hour or less, Jenny was doing most of the talking. And you were just being very pointed, but giving so much space, you know, for her to explore and reflect on her own. That was really powerful to watch. I was very moved, especially by you taking a short moment, not attaching your feelings, but actually showing empathy when Jenny talked about the conflict between being a mother, and being a coach. That was very skillfully done, because it was easy to slip into, oh, okay, you know, I'm gonna share with you what I've gone through, right? But the way you did it was just to let Jenny know that, you know, I feel you, and then you kind of then step back again, you know, as a coach. That was very masterful. I loved that, and also really moving. I was very moved by that moment. So thank you, Jenny, for also raising an issue that I definitely relate to, and have a different sort of completely different set of circumstances to yours. So I've learned a lot also by you sharing this topic for coaching. So thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Anthea. That's what I love, and I'm hearing from others that you love about this group environment, when we get to talk, to listen, learn from other coaches and see other ways and expand our own learning. Thank goodness. Thank you all. Well, I have, as always, a few words to share. Before we do that, let me mention next Monday, October 11th, the topic is establish and maintains agreements. Establish and maintain. A lot of work to this coaching business. Establish and maintains agreements. And Julie will be with you. And then a week from today for the practicum, I will be back. Does everybody remember a common theme at the end of the ethics? Takeaway at the end of the ethics classes, I said, what's your takeaway? And went around and go, I'm going to look at my coaching agreement. Next Monday, establish and maintains agreements. So, Lalia, great coaching. Your focus was intuition, observations, and you pointed out 7-1, questions to evoke awareness and client experience, and 7-5, inviting the client to share more in the moment. I love the break right up front to breathe. You handled the technical issues well. That's difficult when we are on a call with a client and it's a technical issue. And at least in my mind, we have to decide, how much time do I want to spend on this? I'm going to be on the phone with them for 30 minutes. If it's a big issue, I need to address it. If it's a minor issue, maybe I can let it go. How much time? How long do we spend? How do we fix it? What do we do if we can't fix it? These are all parts of coaching. Technology, we're using it right now. So I thought you did that really well, Ali. None of us wants to encounter that, but you did it well. You voiced it. You said, I'm having a difficult time hearing. Your client adjusted. And you mentioned it later and you said, I think this will be okay. So yay, we need to do that. How much better than getting to the end and going, well, I couldn't hear what you said there, but well done. You took a break to breathe. Again, this is to me, I was very focused on evokes awareness, was just a demonstration of the skills and competencies in Evokes Awareness. People talk a lot about powerful questions and things, and they go, oh, where did they go? They updated the core competence. They're all here in Evokes Awareness. And many of us have in common. I am pick on myself. I love when clients have an aha. You know how they get an aha? They go through Evokes Awareness. There ain't no ahas without the Evokes Awareness. So if you like the ahas, back up and spend that time in Evokes Awareness. That's where the ahas come from. So you were in aha land today without an agenda. Imagine, so you can be there in Evokes Awareness land and have an agenda for your client. You must take an awareness. Or you can just be there and be curious, which is what I saw today. I just saw curiosity and the space to look. So some of the, as soon as she mentioned core value, I was like, what? Curious, this is great. How did you come to realize this value was important to you? And I drew a little fork in the road there because that's one of those check-in questions. Tell me where you want to go. Tell me where you want to go right now. And here's the question. How did you come to realize this value was important to you? And I was with you, Lolly. I didn't know what the value was at this point, but it's important. How did you come to realize it was important? That was 6 minutes in. You talked about a value to stay better on time. So you were clarifying. There's just content from your client. Oh, it's just flowing. That's the main thing. Words were flowing out of your client's mouth. Your client was hearing herself speak and going, ooh, at the words. And the awareness is because you were curious and listening. What do you name that core value? I'm going, yes, I want to know. What's this core value? Defining my whole purpose deliberately. How does this value relate to time? That's the big question, okay? This is probably about midway. That's the question. Your topic is time, your value. Tell me how your value relates to time. I'm an observer. Just tell me how they connect. How do you think it will affect your coaching being delivered with time? Now we're this invitation to go forward, use this information. What will you do with what you learn? And I saw great evidence of 7-Eleven, time for a 7-Eleven run on the competency, shares observations, insights, and feelings without attachment. That have the potential to create new learning for the client. You have to do all three of those to get that one right. You can't do two. You have to do all three parts of that. That was great. Tell me more. What are the names for the two hats? Make it visual. Now it's a concrete thing. We're naming the two hats, the other in coaching. You did do two check-ins. You did do two check-ins. You did a check-in earlier and you did a second check-in at 20 minutes. How do you picture yourself using the time? She talked about healthy coaching identity. Oh my goodness, the stuff that was coming from your client in this to sum up for yourself. And then you reflected on the shift. I saw a real shift here, which we must comment on. We must notice. Yes, we're at half past. If you have a obligation, we are complete. I always stick around for a few minutes, but Lalia, well done. Really well done. Jenny, thank you so much for volunteering. Yeah,
thank you, Jenny.
Absolutely.
That's great. And,
I think I said Julie will be with you on Monday. Establish and maintain agreements. So I will stick around. If you have any questions, please let me know. Have a wonderful rest of your day.
Thank you very much,
everyone. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Stay well. Bye. Have a good day.